Controversy, sadly, has been something that the church has had to confront over the years. Throughout the entire history of the church, it's had to deal with controversy, and our time is no different. And this is a controversy that I'm not aware of it being a big controversy here, but it is a controversy in some quarters of the church. The controversy is this. Some have left our fellowship and are now advocating for a 15th of Abib or Nisan Passover observance. So there are people that say Passover is on the 15th and advocating that, and it has created questions for different members of the church, and some people have left the church and to pursue that particular approach. Some of this is based on the changing meaning of Hebrew words. For instance, it talks about you're to sacrifice the Passover at twilight, or more correctly translated, between the two evenings. And we've always understood that to mean between sunset and dark. Other people see it as much more broadly, at actual sunset or and at the beginning of the day and the ending of the day. So how do you interpret that? Well, we've always interpreted it as between the two Sabbaths, between sunset and dark. The minister who brought up this controversy wondered if our ministers have researched origins of the Jews keeping Passover on the 15th. Well, they have. In fact, I gave a couple of sermons in March and April of 2019. They're both on the website and go through that particular subject. And we're not going to cover that subject today. We're going to cover it from a little different approach. So they are available if you want to take a look at it. So this sermon will be divided into three parts: the biblical sequence of the Passover in Exodus 12. So we're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at Deuteronomy 16. And you may not be aware that that's a controversial section of Scripture. And as we'll discuss, it's used by people to advocate keeping the Passover on the 15th. And then we will look at what did Jesus do. So that's beyond question. What did Jesus do, and should settle the question completely? But we'll look at what he did. And basically, in this process, we're going to let the Bible interpret itself. So as you go back to ancient Israel in Egypt, God, as he was going to begin working with them, began by establishing time for them. He told them when the year began, and he told them about what the first day of the year was. And then he clarified for them when they were to set aside the lamb that they would sacrifice, and when they were to sacrifice it. And that's laid out for us in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. There it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be the beginning," excuse me, "the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you." So that is still the case. We don't keep the Hebrew calendar, but we can correlate the Hebrew calendar with the calendar that we use. So the lamb was chosen, tells us in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, and to be set aside on the 10th day of the first month. So it was set aside on the 10th. The lamb had to be from the sheep or goats, but it could not be a bull from the herd. And this is an important point to understand, because you can become confused if you look at Deuteronomy 16. That's where that's part of the controversy. So it's clear, the meaning is clear if you just look at Exodus. But if you look at Deuteronomy 16, then you can become a little bit confused. So that's why we're going to go through Deuteronomy chapter 16. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4, let's read that. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4. And there it tells us, if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So why is it to be a lamb? Is that crucial to the keeping of Passover? Well, of course it is. Who is the Lamb of God other than Jesus Christ? So it's crucial that you keep the lamb, or, you know, sacrifice the lamb, and the lamb is the focus. As you look at the lamb or the goat that is at the kid, as you would call it, they're both representative of Jesus Christ. So that's a fundamental symbol of the Passover, and is still that symbol today. In fact, as you go through the New Testament, it's all through the New Testament, and as you go through the book of Revelation, amazingly, it spends a lot of time on the Lamb. Why? Because the Lamb is crucial to God's plan being worked out. In fact, as you look at John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is standing there with his disciples, and up comes Jesus Christ walking up to them. And what does John the Baptist say? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So John recognized who Jesus was, and we are too as well. So on what day and at what time of day was the lamb to be slaughtered? Again, we can understand that from Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. There it says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." Now, twilight, you know, we would probably recognize as English speakers as when the sun begins going down. And so it's getting closer to sunset. But the Hebrew is more specific. And as you look at what it means in Hebrew, it means between the setting of the sun, when the sun goes down, and dark. And if you look at the Hebrew there, that's what it means. And you can see in various scriptures that help us to understand that. So the whole assembly was to kill it at twilight, or between the two of evenings. That is, between the two evenings are sunset and dark. And at the beginning of the 14th, they were to kill the lamb. So the whole nation of Israel back in ancient times was to kill the lamb. So at the beginning of the 14th, the lamb was killed. And we know that the beginning of a day, according to the Bible, reckoning is when? It's at sunset. They didn't keep time as far as day and night and all of that as we do. They kept it in the way that is relayed to us in the Bible. So they were to kill the lamb as soon as the new day started. They were to kill the lamb as soon as the new day, that is the 14th day, started. And that would be at twilight. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. There it says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost, on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." And so they had to eat it at the place where they lived. And they were to be inside the house where they lived, and they were to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the firstborn, God spared them. And the only reason he spared the people of Israel is because of the blood of the lamb. And as you think about all of us, we are only spared for the same reason. We've not put blood on our doorposts and lintels or anything like that, but representatively, it applies to all of us. And the only reason we're spared is because of that blood. We've accepted the blood of the lamb, and God has recognized the blood of the lamb, and God spares us from the death penalty. So that's how it all ties together. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. So they were to slaughter the lamb, take some of the blood, and then they were supposed to do something with that lamb after they had killed it. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. Let's read what it says there. It says, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw or boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. So they were to kill the lamb, and then they were to roast it. They were to roast it. They weren't to boil it. It specifically says they're not to boil it. So as you think about this, they had to kill the lamb, they had to drain the blood, and then they skin it, they had to roast it. And as you look at this process that's going on, it's going to take a while to do that. It's going to take a while for this to be accomplished. And it's something that, because it took time, you have to think about how could they do that in the time period that they had. And they could, if you understand the scriptures in the right way. So this took place on the 14th. So they were to roast the lamb. And this is important to recognize, because as you look at Deuteronomy 16, what does it tell you? It tells you to boil it, that you can boil it. So, is that referring to Passover in Deuteronomy 16? We'll see. We'll seek to understand what it says. And it says that you're to eat this lamb in a rush with a sense of urgency with unleavened bread. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ, the Passover, was without sin, and the unleavened bread had no leaven in it, which represents sin. And with bitter herbs, signifying the trials that we face as God's people, as Christians, seeking to live God's way of life. And then it says they were to completely burn every bit of the remaining lamb, whatever remained, they were to burn it. And it was to be burned up before the next morning. And this all had to be done on the 14th. With all of those duties on the 14th, there is no way Israel could go through that process and fulfill the instructions that God gives them and leave Egypt all on the same night. It's not doable. So they had certain things that they had to do, certain restrictions, and the only way that all of that could come to pass is if they did it on the 14th, and then they did other things on the beginning on the 15th. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Exodus chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. There it says, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So it's very specific about what's taking place here. It is the Lord's Passover. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. It's still the Lord's Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. They were told in that verse, none of you were to leave your homes until morning. So you were to stay in your homes. You were to eat the Passover and to stay in your homes until the next morning, when the sun began to rise, you could come out of your home. Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. There it says, tells us that they were to observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It's to be observed as an ordinance, so that's why we continue to keep it. It's something that was applied to Israel back anciently, and it's still applicable to all of us, and we do it, and we pass it along to our children to help them to understand the significance of this particular time. So it's something that we do, and we seek to pass it along to the next generation. It says there in those verses, it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you will keep this service. So we continue to keep this service. And it is a special service that God has established for his people to keep. Exodus chapter 12, verse 27. amazingly, you know, Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel all of this, and we're familiar with the behavior of the Israelites, and amazingly, they kept it. Most of the time, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. But they kept it, which was a good idea since the Passover protect, you know, and the blood protected them from God passing through the land. So they did listen and they did do what they were told to do. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. There it says, at midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But the Lord passed over those homes of the Israelites, which had the blood on their doorposts and lintels. So God went through the land, and he did kill the firstborn of Egypt, just as he had said. And he passed over the people of Israel. He passed over the people of Israel, and they were protected from the God passing through the land. And this was because of the Passover. And it is a very vivid reminder that God has passed over us as well. So, do we deserve to die because of our sins? Absolutely. But God says, I will forgive you because of the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only reason we're forgiven. That's the only reason we're spared. So, God passed over us just like he passed over ancient Israel because of the blood. So the Passover has taken place. Now what happens? Let's go to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. And in Numbers chapter 33, it tells us where Israel departed from. Numbers chapter 33, verse 3. There it tells us, they departed, that is Israel departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. So the Passover was on the 14th. Now we're on the 15th. And the 15th day of the first month is when they began to depart Egypt from Ramses. It says in Numbers, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of the Egyptians. So what are the Egyptians doing? They're burying their dead. And Pharaoh said, get out of Egypt. So they're getting out of Egypt. So they're departing, and as they look around at their neighbors, they're all taking care of the dead in their particular family. So verse 4, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgment. So God had killed the firstborn, and he had displayed through his actions during the plagues that God was intervening to free Israel, and the actions of the plagues were to clearly indicate to the people of Egypt and to the people of Israel that the gods of Egypt were not gods. They were imaginary gods. So that point was made by God in the plagues. Verse 40 says, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. So God had made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 14, 430 years before, and that promise was fulfilled as Israel was freed from Egypt. So Israel was freed. They were able to leave the land of Egypt, and God had said, you're going to be slaves in Egypt for a time. But there is coming a time when I'm going to intervene and free you. And so what's taking place here as they begin to depart from the land of Egypt on that night, there was something that took place well before then during the time of Abraham. Abraham entered into covenant with God and gave Abraham a vision of what was to come, and this all played out as they're leaving Egypt and as it's described in Exodus and in Numbers. Let's move on now to Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. There it says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for the children of Israel throughout their generations. So this night, when they began to come out of Egypt, is designated as a night of solemn observance. A night of solemn observance, the night at the beginning of the 15th. Therefore, the Passover lamb was killed the previous night on the 14th, and at the beginning of the day, that is the beginning of the 14th at twilight. And as you look at that, you can clearly see the timing. And if the killing of the Passover lamb in Exodus 12 would have been at 3 p.m. of the 14th, then the blood of the Lord passing over at midnight would have been on the night of the 15th. And that's not what happened. The Lord passed through the land on the 14th. The 15th was when the way was open for them to be able to leave the land of Egypt. And so the Passover is not on the 15th, and to keep it on the 15th is not biblical. It's not biblical. So Scripture is clear that the Passover is on the 14th and not on the 15th. However, if you look at Deuteronomy 16, you can become confused. You can become confused. So hopefully what I'm going to talk about here is not confusing, but will help you understand Deuteronomy 16 more than you do today. And frankly, we've not spent much time in my time in the ministry on Deuteronomy 16. But we're going to spend some time on it now, and hopefully the explanation will help you understand what's being said there. So let's think about Deuteronomy chapter 16. So this is the second part of the sermon. And in essence, what you have to realize is Deuteronomy 16 is talking about the night to be observed. It's talking about the night when they came out of Egypt. But if you just look at it without analyzing it, you can become confused, as we'll see. So, and as you look at, there are people that back in ancient times in the church didn't feel there was any obligation to keep the night to be observed. In fact, they referred to it in a derogatory way. They considered it as folly. They considered it as a pipe dream that has no application in reality, and we don't have to keep it. And there are people that ask that question, and it's a valid question. But there are very good reasons to keep it, and we're not going to go into that in detail. If you want to go back to March 27th, 2021, I talked about that particular subject. Why do we keep it and the significance of it? And it is deserving of an entire sermon from time to time. So we covered that, and it's on our website. So let's get into Deuteronomy 16. And we're going to begin by going through the first 8 verses, just to kind of set the tone for what we're going to talk about. So let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Observe the month Abib, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God." So this is the first month. It's talking about the Passover, isn't it? And then it goes on to say, For in the month Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. So it's mentioning Passover, and then it's mentioning coming out of Egypt. And we've already looked at when the Passover takes place on the 14th, and we looked at when Israel came out of Egypt, which was on the 15th. So you see both of these things mentioned, which can be a little bit confusing. It goes on to say, "Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd." So that poses a problem, which we'll talk about here in a minute. "In the place where the Lord chooses to put his name, you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. And that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days. Nor shall you any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go into your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day you shall have, that shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. So as we begin, I want to note one often overlooked fact. As you think of Leviticus chapter 23, it assigns Passover as the first of seven related but distinct festivals. So we keep seven festivals. Now there are 7 days of unleavened bread, and there's a first day and a last day. But as far as festivals are concerned, we keep seven distinct festivals. Passover being one, days of unleavened being two, and Pentecost 3, and so on and so forth. So it's important to keep that in mind. The first 17 verses of Deuteronomy 16 specifically apply to the keeping of three of those festivals: unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. For instance, doesn't it talk about three seasons in Deuteronomy 16? It certainly does. So you have to keep that in mind as an overall premise of Deuteronomy 16. So they were to keep those three festivals in those seasons. So Passover is a separate festival. It was to be observed in one's home, making it a clearly distinct from the other seven. All right. So as we shall see, the term Passover in verse 1 creates a difficulty. In fact, if that's the case, what's it in there for? It seems a little bit confusing, and because it doesn't fit with the context. And I want you to notice that it does not say Jerusalem as the place where God placed his name, where it says where, and now where God placed his name is generally considered where the tabernacle or later the temple was located. But interestingly, we do the same thing. Where has God placed his name? We don't go to Jerusalem, do we? It's a long trip every week. So God has placed his name where we meet on the Sabbath day. And it applied. So you have to understand it in the greater context. And as Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed, where was the place where God placed his name? For the Jews, it was in the synagogue. And for us as the church, it is where we meet for church services. That's where God placed his name. So let's get into Deuteronomy 16 and look at some details here. First, consider the context, the time setting of the book of Deuteronomy. So what was happening as God gave Moses the book of Deuteronomy? Israel had come to the brink of going into the land of promise. And so they're there on the eastern side of the Jordan, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the land. So they're all there, about 2 million strong. The Canaanites realize they're there, and they're worried about it because they've defeated one nation after another as they have been making their way up to the promised land. So here's this horde of people getting ready to cross the river into the land of Canaan. So that's what's going on at the time, and God gave the people of Israel the book of Deuteronomy. And so they're getting ready to go into the land, and as you go back to Exodus chapter 12, it requires that the Passover be observed at home. Thus, following Passover, once they did that, they were still at home. and they could go to wherever they were meeting for services where God had placed his name. So after the Jews went into captivity and returned, then that's when they reestablished the temple, and the local synagogue began to be something that was important to the Jews, because not everybody returned to the land of promise. A lot of them had become scattered, and so they did believe in the truths of the Bible, so the synagogue became a part of Jewish life, which it is still to this day. And it became a part of life in ancient Judah. So that's where and we as the church, we gather where God has placed his name. So we meet here each Sabbath where God has placed his name. He's made this place available to us, for which we're thankful. And he's made hundreds of other places available to God's people to meet. So let's begin in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and think about the first 8 verses, which we've read. And that section of scriptures is advocating an Abib or a Nisan 15 Passover, because of all the mentions of Passover there. That's used by people advocating that we meet on the 15th, that's what it's telling us to do. But once we clarify what is said go through a bit of detective work, it becomes clear that God means exactly what he said when he assigned Passover to the 14th. So, and Abib 15 Passover is impossible when given the scriptural information. So the first needed clarification in Deuteronomy 16 verse 1 is this. If Passover is not correctly understood, and because it does mention the Passover there, then it can be confusing. The instructions in Deuteronomy 16 verses 1 through 8 do not apply to Passover observation in the least. The instructions actually apply to the days of unleavened bread, and most specifically the night to be observed. In verse 2, it mentions the word herd. Now, sheep don't come from herds, and goats don't come from herds. So you have to look at that, and it tells you that you can take whatever it's referring to from the flock and the herd. And that is not a reference to Passover, because it's speaking specifically about either sacrificing a goat or a lamb. Most often it was a goat or a lamb, excuse me. Exodus chapter 12 talks about you're to take your sacrifice from the sheep or from the goats. And for those of us who have some farming experience, herd refers to cattle. You have a cattle herd. And so it's referring to something else. It can't be referring to the Passover when you're talking about a herd. So as you look at that particular point, it is a blow against this chapter being about Passover. The next thing to take a look at in the same verse, in verse 2, is the sacrifice of verse 2 was to be sacrificed where God had placed his name. So now in this time context, it indicates the temple or tabernacle where he placed his name. And that is what it would generally indicate. But as you look at Exodus 12, what does it talk about? It talks about taking the Passover at home, taking the Passover in your home. And in your home, in that context, was the place where God put his name, their own home, where they would eat it. So in that context, that's speaking of the Passover. And Passover was to be done at home. Passover was to be done at home. And Deuteronomy 16, verse 2 has two instructions that don't apply to the Passover. So it's talking about the herd, and it's talking about the place where God would put his name. And as you look at that instruction in verse 2, it applies to something other than Passover, or else we have a conflict that can't be reconciled. Let's go on to Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. It says, you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. That you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. No leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. The first thing to notice here is that the instruction mentions unleavened bread in relationship with coming out of Egypt. In fact, the phrase specifically says, you shall remember the day you came forth out of Egypt. And Israel did not leave Egypt on the 14th. They did not leave on the Passover. They left on the 15th, on the first day of unleavened bread. And as we've seen, Numbers chapter 33 marks the beginning of the Israelites' journey. And there it says in verse 33 that they departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th. They departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th. So the Passover was the night before. It's not talking about the Passover in that verse. So the first day of unleavened bread at sunset, as the sun was going down, was the time that Israel left Egypt. So that's a blow against the concept of the 15th being the Passover. So the day they left is the 15th, not the 14th. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 and 22 talks about picking out the lambs, the instruction that Moses and Aaron gave to the people of the leaders of Israel to pass along to all the Israelites. And they were to take some of the blood from the lamb and put it on the doorpost and the lintels. And none of them were to go out before morning. They were to stay in their houses. They were to eat the lamb, stay in their houses. So as you look at what it says, after killing the lamb, putting some of the blood on the doorpost, and then roasting the lamb, the Israelites were specifically warned to remain in their houses until morning. And this set up a physical impossibility for those who promote the 15th day of Passover, 15th Passover as the Passover. One cannot remain in one's house on the 14th and leave Israel. Can't do it. So that's a contradiction that you can't reconcile. In addition, Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20, and Leviticus chapter 23 specifically assign unleavened bread to be eaten beginning on the 15th until the end of the days of unleavened bread, which ends on the 21st. So as you look at the particular sacrifice mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, as laid out in verse 5, it's not to be sacrificed at home. It's to be sacrificed where God placed his name. But the sacrifice of Passover was to be done at home. So we can see that Deuteronomy 16 does not fit with the Passover sacrifice that God laid out. Additionally, as you look in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 16, it adds another proof. Deuteronomy 16, verse 7, there it says, and you shall roast and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. Well, interestingly, as you look at that word roast, it's not a correct translation. It would fit with the Passover, if it was talking about roasting it, because the Hebrew word there should for roast would be basically saka, which it isn't. Yeah, the word there actually means to boil. It tells you specifically to boil it. The word used in Deuteronomy 16, verse 7 is not the word for roast. It is the Hebrew word for boil. So that can't be a reference to the Passover. It always means boil or to seethe. So it can't fit with the instructions given about Passover. Finally, as you look at this, there is a conjunction between verse 4 and verse 8. And it says in verse 4, it mentions the first day, which you sacrifice the first day at even. And then you look at verse 8, 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And I thought, and as you look at that, you think, well, I thought we were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And we truly are. But when you add the first day mentioned there to the other six, then you have seven. And the writer means there are 6 more days after the sacrifice is made, you are to eat unleavened bread. So as you look at that verse clearly, it's referring to the 7 days of unleavened bread. So Passover and the days of unleavened bread are separate festivals. They are separate festivals, which we are to always remember that they're separate. Passover is not a day of unleavened bread. Let me just summarize this, just to try to make it clear. The first point is, at the very least, the insertion of Passover here may have been a scribe's error and create some confusion if you're not careful, if you don't go through and do some detective work. The second point is, the Passover sacrifice was restricted to a year-old lamb or goat. The sacrifice mentioned in Deuteronomy 16 has no such restriction as far as the age of the sacrifice. But the Passover is quite specific. It is to be a lamb of a year old. The third instruction is this. This third point pertains to the observance of the day Israel left Egypt, which is the 15th. Verse 4 mentions the night and morning of the first day of unleavened bread. The night and the morning of the first day of unleavened bread. The fourth point is, the sacrifice of Deuteronomy 16 was not permitted to be made at home. Passover was commanded to be at home. And as you look at the time of Christ, there were still those who were keeping the Passover at home. They didn't all go to the temple Passover. The fifth point is this. The sacrifice of this chapter was permitted to be boiled. And as we've seen, the Passover was to be roasted, not boiled. And the sixth point, the entire period covered by this instruction in Deuteronomy 16 is 7 days, not one, as in the case of the Passover. It's talking about 7 days, so it refers to the night to be observed and the days of unleavened bread. So as you look at it, it's a little bit convoluted, but does not give us instruction to keep the Passover on the 15th. To help nail it down, let's just look at what Jesus Christ did. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7, it says there, "Then came the day of unleavened bread." Now, as you look at what Luke is saying, at that time, the Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread were all basically seen as one, and were referred to as one. But Christ tells them specifically in verse 8, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So he's speaking specifically about the Passover, and he's not talking about any days in the days of unleavened bread. Luke chapter 22, verse 11. It says, then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? So what was Jesus focused on? He was focused on keeping the Passover with his disciples. And he's clearly telling us that. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. It says, then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Jesus Christ observed the Passover service as commanded, and nobody questioned it, because many faithful Jews were eating the Passover at home at the beginning of the 14th, and Christ did not break the law or sin. So he did it exactly as God laid out. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Those verses tell us that Jesus ate the Passover when the hour had come at a specific time. So the timing was important, and he kept the Passover at that time. He kept it at the right hour, and he ate the Passover. He did not sacrifice. The sacrifices were to be done at the temple and only at the temple. So the Passover service, therefore, was a meal at the beginning of the 14th. So Christ and his disciples enjoyed a meal as part of the Passover service that evening. And after the meal, what did Christ do? He established the New Testament symbols, which we continue to observe to this day. And you look at what Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us in 1 Corinthians 11. So Paul clearly was given instruction by Jesus Christ while he was in the wilderness, and Christ was teaching him personally, and he relayed this to the Apostle Paul. And Paul was seeking to pass this information along to make sure it was clear for the church. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, it speaks about keeping the new covenant Passover. And he tells us specifically when we are to do it. And he speaks the Passover's three symbols and the point of the foot washing, you know, which he mentions in John, the suffering before his death with the bread and the wine. So we see that the Passover ceremony is not after his death on the 15th, but before his death, the night he was betrayed at the beginning of the 14th. So the clear biblical exposition answers the reason we celebrate Passover at the beginning of the 14th, just like Jesus did. And I've given you a couple of handouts that go through that particular subject, and you can look at them, and it lays it all out, the timing, so you can see it from what it was for ancient Israel and what it was in the time of Christ and what it is today. So you can see that explanation, and hopefully it will prove helpful to you. And the thing is, as you look at Deuteronomy 16, the only reason I mentioned that is because if you're not careful in the way you look at it, then it can lead you to believe, well, we should keep it on the 15th, which isn't accurate. So we keep it at the right time as Christ instructed, and we will be doing so on the evening of the 21st and of the month of April, and we can all look forward to that, and hopefully we're taking the time to look at ourselves and think about where we stand, so as we come before God on the 14th, as God instructed, we can do so in a way that is pleasing to God and take the Passover in a worthy manner. So thanks for your attention.